Matthew chapter 4. Again. We're going to look at verses 15 and 16. I'm going to read to you the prophecy first. It comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Let me just say this. I didn't know when to say it, how to say it. I may say it again in a few minutes toward the end, but John Owen and Jonathan Edwards, they sort of were different opinions about prophecy. They both had good arguments. John Edwards, as we know, his thought was prophecy may be in steps. There may be this fulfillment of it, but there may be a secondary fulfillment or a larger fulfillment. And he used, in a simple example, as you go all the way back to Abraham, when that son was promised. Well, the immediate fulfillment was who? Isaac. A greater fulfillment was David. But the greatest of all the fulfillment of that son was our Lord. See, that was Edward's contention. Now, John Owen said, he didn't say that that was wrong, but John Owen said you got to be careful with that. Either the Bible says what it says or it doesn't say what it says. So, Isaiah here has double meaning in this prophecy. It meant some of it was during Hezekiah's day, when came in. You remember? Part of that was this. But then there's a greater fulfillment here in Matthew chapter 4. So remember that. We'll talk about it again in the end. But look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 15. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea." That's by the way of the sea, just by the road that goes to the Sea of Galilee. That's what it's saying, by that road. On the road to the Sea of Galilee. "Beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." Title of this message is "Hope for Those in Darkness." Our Lord here, He leaves Nazareth. He leaves the place He was known the best. Why'd He leave? They didn't give Him any ear, did they? What's the Scripture say? He said, the Scripture says, there's no honor or respect for a prophet from his own community, basically. And that's true, isn't it? That's true. Sometimes it may be best for... The Lord puts the fellow where He puts the fellow, and we're content there. Sometimes you wonder if a fellow may, though, have gotten a better audience if he'd gone to another state somewhere. Because our Lord said that. So you can just naturally wonder. We don't question anything the Lord does. We wonder, though. We wonder, what if? But the Lord may leave you in your community to keep it in darkness. Who knows? It's all in His hands. But our Lord left. He left. They didn't give Him any ear, had no respect for His preaching. So He leaves. Scripture says this, "He came unto His own, and they received Him not." Well, it started right there. It started in His own hometown, and it spread through the whole nation. There's another example of a little bit of fulfillment, then a greater fulfillment. They didn't hear Him at home, and they didn't hear Him in His home country, in His home nation. It'd be like, they don't hear me in Fairplay, they don't hear me in Georgia. came unto his own, and they received him not. They tried to kill him. Would have killed him. Would have killed him. They had light, and the light left. Now, you can either come here and leave light, or light can leave you. It works both ways. Lord don't have to shut the lights off in this building, because there's folks here that love the light. I don't think he's going to do that. He'll preserve, but he may move those that don't love the light. Move them out. Get them gone. Think about had light, and light left. So here he goes to Capernaum. And it says the Galilee of the Gentiles. That's how dark it was. And this may be that first casting away of the Jews and brought salvation to those folks in that area. This may be the first glimpse of that, even. Here's the first point. Souls in darkness. Like I said, it said Galilee of the Gentiles. I tried to do a study. Few, if any, teachers of religion came out of this area. And not any that I could find that preached the truth, that brought truth. It was just dark area. And I thought that's how the gospel is now, even today. And even in theory, we're living in a day that even in theory, the gospel is known little of. It really isn't. In churches where you 25, 30, 50 years ago, they may not have been Calvinistic in doctrine, but there was some bit of gospel there. A pretty good theory of the gospel, wasn't it? And I don't know that it's there anymore. You talk to folks that are still in those places, and they don't have much knowledge of what this thing's all about. And I'm not talking about Calvinism. I try to leave Calvinism out of this stuff. I have very little knowledge of just simple believe and live. But this darkness, this is the true character condition of all of those without Christ in the gospel. All in darkness. This is man's state before his conversion, before Christ appears. This is his state. He's in darkness. He's under the power of sin and unbelief. And this darkness is just simply ignorance. Just ignorance. Just don't know. Just don't know. Don't have a clue. They're ignorant of themselves, of their condition. They folks think they're okay. They think they're fine. Somehow they're fine. Ignorant of the dangers of sin and what sin brings. Right. Ignorant of it. Just going about their sinful business, I guess you could say. Ignorant of spiritual things, certainly, aren't they? Ignorant of God's grace. Ignorant of the way of peace. I'm talking about today's world. They're no different than this group. Ignorant of the way of faith. The way of peace they've not known. And so look at the turmoil that we're in. Good people are in turmoil. I mean, why are we at peace? Because peace is in us. Do we worry about what goes on? Sure we do. Sure we do. But there's an underlying peace here. No matter how bad it gets. Death can only be an instant if that's what it comes to. But there's peace. We got a world of people, you know, they're in darkness because they're in turmoil. They don't know the way of peace. Ignorant of life and salvation in Christ. So all unconverted people are in the dark. They may get concerned, and we've all known them. They'll get concerned, pick up this Bible, or they'll come to church for a while. But when they read it, it's just empty words. And we've had folks go through turmoil, they'll show up here. We know the truth is here, but they're dark to it. I talk to you folks, you understand what it is, but sometimes they'll come in, it's just, they'll come two or three times and it's just blank. They never don't know. Don't know. Dark. Just in darkness. Don't understand. Just empty words. They try to work out things that are good and acceptable. Straighten out this turmoil. Seeking for light. But there's still darkness. They can't figure a way out. When you're dark, you can't figure a way out. Can you? You just stumble around. That's the way it goes. If it's an unfamiliar place and it's in the dark, you may never get out. I've known firemen in the dark. They die in the dark. You ever find their way out? Die in the dark. Strange place. Never find the door. And here's another thing, though. Every one of these folks in darkness, they come from different angles in life, don't they? They may all come from different, and they do. I mean, we can experience that in our own life and community. Different angles of darkness. Different backgrounds. They're all in the dark, though, aren't they? Dark's dark. Always remember this. In all of His dealings, in all of God's dealings with men, He is always, always sovereign. He doesn't have to distribute light evenly, and He doesn't have to remove the thickness of darkness. Or He can put one person in thicker darkness than another. He's God. He's sovereign. Does with His own what He wants to do. Sooner folks quit trying to figure that out and make excuses for it and just accept it, you may see God work a little more. He does with what He is what He wants to. We don't question that, do we? We got things in our house, that's mine. Ron's got two or three horses over I'd like to have, but they're his horses. Right? Do with his horses what he wants to do. Tony's got tomatoes planted. You want to give your tomatoes away? You can. If you want to throw them through the woods, you can, can't you? It's your prerogative. And then we question God. Isn't that silly? Isn't that silly? But look at these degrees of dark. Some have never and may never hear the gospel. Is that okay? Well, it's going to have to be, because that's a fact of life. They may never hear the gospel. There's folks in the deepest, darkest places in this world where Trevor would say he was a school teacher as well as a missionary. He told us, I got to give them a basic education to teach them the gospel. They don't know. That's dark, isn't it? That is dark. Or they may be right across the road and never hear the gospel. True? But there's some folks who may never hear the gospel and forever stay in the dark. Then there's another group. Some have gone to church many, many, many years and have yet to hear the gospel. Why is that? There's no gospel there to hear. None to hear. Now, they'll hear about some good things. They'll be taught to do some good things and some good deeds. And they'll be pumped up with good feelings, and they'll have a lot of drama and emotional things that'll go on that they'll leave feeling good about themselves, and they've been doing that for years. But they're in the dark. Light is simply this, gospel. Light is gospel. So they're in the dark. Or they may be at a place where they hear bad things about themselves all the time. Do this and live. Don't do that and live. But they're still in the dark. Or there's some like here. I got no doubt there's in a handful of folks right here, there's folks sitting in the dark. Under the truth. I carried my girls in my arms. I was carried in arms. And that's a blessing. We're talking about Wednesday night. That's a blessing, isn't it? To have always heard the gospel. To have always heard the gospel. But there's been some my equal, my girls equal, they've been carried the same way. Carried in arms their whole life to church. they're still in the dark. Light all around them, they're still in. See the degrees, the places that you can be and still be in darkness? Is God sovereign or no? He is. Absolutely He is. And Isaiah, of these two groups, there's religion around. And there's some truth. These folks here in this two-verse narrative, they had the Pharisees were around there. Those groups of religion were there. And there may have been some truth there. We can't say there was or there wasn't. I don't think there was. I think there was nothing there but whatever religion there was. That lady at the well, she wasn't but 30 miles from here. She was, what if the Lord confronted her? She brought up religion, superstition. She said the mountain. She went to that mountain. And what the Lord was looking at that well, you could see that mountain. You could see that shrine they had made of. Well, that's where Moses, or Abraham, was it Abraham? That's where Abraham worshipped. That's about all she knew. She didn't know the God of Abraham. And it's here, that's where any of these three groups that I just said, that's where they dwell. That's where their dark is dark, and that's where they dwell. They're dead in Adam. They're dead in the law. They're dead in their own sins. You're just dead. Just dead. And John wrote over in John 12:46, that's where they abide. He said, that's where we abode. Until light came, until Christ came. That's where we dwelt, right there with them, till light came. Till grace in Christ comes, they all dwell in darkness. Isaiah wrote, I just read it to you, he wrote over in chapter, he said they walked in darkness. Matthew here says, I think he did it on purpose. He said, no, Isaiah, it's even worse than that. These folks are sitting in darkness. They're sitting in it. They're in the shadow of death. What's a shadow of death? That's when you're waiting around a family member's bed, just waiting. That's when hospice is called. That's the shadow of death. Just a matter of time. No recovery. Just a matter of time. That's where these folks were. Just about dead. Just about dead. They sitting in darkness. What is sitting? What does that? What does sitting imply? What do you think about when you think about sitting? I think about a couple of them. One I think about is a continuing posture, isn't it? When I sit down, I want to stay there a while. If I'm tired, I find a good place to sit. That's where I want to sit, stay for a little while. It's a continuing posture. Well, that's how dark people. I mean, men. What's the scripture say? Men love darkness better than light. They want to continue there. The best they do are his filthy rags. But that's where they're going to stay. They're going to continue there. Why is that? Well, the second thing about it, it's a contented posture, isn't it? We're in it. We're sitting in that chair. We sit there a minute or two and you say, whew, feels good here. I'm content right here. Right here. Willingly so. Don't the scriptures say that? They will to not believe. They will to not. They're willingly so. Kim and I were talking about that the other day. There's folks just talking about this dark. Just talking about different folks that just recently we talked to. Different degrees of darkness. But they think they're fine. Their idea is, you know, they look at this group of religion and say, whew, I don't want to be there, but they're not anything. They're not anything. This is a bad group. I don't want my daughter dating this one. But I'm not anything. Isn't that dark? And they're willingly so. It's almost like I'm going to hell, believing this. So what? I'm not going to look into anything else. If I go to hell believing this, then that's what I'll do. That's content in it, in your darkness. That's you can't get any more content. And we know a world of folks just like that, just content where they are. If I've missed it, I've missed it. If I don't go to heaven this way, I just won't go. Well, they're not going. They're not going. And the saddest of all is those droves of people who had light and left it and are content. Whatever they're doing now, they're content there. They left it. They know they left it. And they're content there. Well, is there any hope? I said the message was hope for those in darkness. Is there any hope? Yeah, there's hope. There's only one source of hope. Let me read it to you. Now, when Jesus had heard... I'm sorry. Verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he, our Lord, came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. When did they see great light? When Christ left Nazareth and came there. What's the only hope of light for a dark soul? Christ. Christ. Christ alone. The only light for a soul in darkness is Christ. That's the second point. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. I like that latter part of 16. Talk about those that sat in the shadow of death. It said, light has sprung up. Suddenly appeared. Light sprung up. Christ appeared. Unannounced. It's like the sun out here in the mornings, and unannounced. Comes up without us asking or seeking for it. That sun's going to come up in the morning whether I want it to or not. Well, so will the Son of Righteousness. It's going to come. Did these people deserve it? Did they deserve it? No, they didn't deserve it. Go back and read about the lady at the well. Did she deserve it? No. They didn't deserve it. They didn't desire. These folks didn't desire it. They were sitting in great darkness. They weren't out looking. They were sitting there. They were content that they sat in great darkness. So they didn't desire light. They didn't expect light. And all of a sudden light appears to them with healing in his wings. Took away the darkness. Took it away. Calls them to pass from death to life. They said they saw great light. Great light. Oh, Christ is great, isn't he? Christ is great. He reveals great things. He reveals things we never knew. He reveals great things. He opens this Bible up to us, don't he? We didn't do that. This is not one of those things where you can just sit and read it over and over and over, and all of a sudden, if something don't open it up to you, if light don't come, it'll forever be just words. He reveals things to you. We come here and see it. He reveals things to us, don't he? So he reveals great things. He brings great comfort. The saddest of times, Christ is always there. He's that light that never dims for us. As bad as things get, Christ is our comfort. He brings great comfort. Saves bad people from great sins, don't he? Delivers people like you and I from great wrath. The great Savior. And everything he does is independent of us. We see it. We see it. We see it. We don't begin, perform, or finish our salvation. We don't seek or call. He does. He does. We don't even produce our own faith. He does. He does it all. He just appears. Light springs up. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. His life was the light that turned on in me, turned on in you. Turn it on yourself, not a switch that you can flip. This is our message. This was John's message in 1 John. It's our message. He is light, and in him is absolutely no darkness. No darkness at all. No question of what he can or can't do, or what he can do better than something else. He can do it all. It's all great light. It's all, and that's our message. That's what we get up here on this same 8 inches every Sunday and try to get across. Christ, 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 Christ. Over and over and over and over. He's light. And in him is no darkness. For years it's been said out of this building, he's light. In him there is no darkness. There's light in his name, isn't there? What's it? Jesus Christ our Lord. There's light in that name. Jesus. What's Jesus mean? Savior. Savior. Somebody says, I'm a dark sinner. I'm lost. I'm ruined. Well, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, didn't he? Somebody says, my sins overwhelm. A lot of folks will say that. My sins overwhelm me. There's no hope for me. My sins overwhelm me. Well, he, Jesus, shall save his people from their sins. No matter what the sins, he shall save his people from their sins. Someone says, Satan annoys me. Well, what have we just been studying for 4 weeks? Our Lord went through all of those temptations. For what? For us. For us. To build us up. Comfort us. Give hope to us. Why is that? Because he's like us. He's like us. Just like us. Minus the sin. Tried and he tempted in all points. What's the scripture say? Like unto us. Minus the sin. We've got somebody that the two fields of work that I was in for years. I've seen fire chiefs become fire chiefs and were terrible firemen. Some of them never even were firemen. But they make fire chief. I've seen builders. I watched them the other day, sort of shook my head doing a job in Paulding County there. And they ride around in their trucks. No toolbox on the back of their truck. A couple of them just in little cars. Riding around, they'll stop. Watch somebody building a house that they got their name on. They'll talk to one another. Never a carpenter. Have you seen that? Builders, but never a carpenter? That's not our Lord. A builder that's never been a carpenter, that's a tough guy to call at midnight when you got a problem, isn't it? Well, I built it, but I don't know how to build the house. Not our Lord. He's been everywhere we've been. He can do it. Trust him, can't you? Jesus the Savior. You can trust him. Trust him. He suffered. He's been tried. He's able to fill our need. Then Christ is the second name. Christ. What's Christ mean? It means the anointed, the sent one. Our Lord didn't come here on a venture, or one preacher said he didn't come on a crapshoot. Came on purpose, didn't he? Huh? What did he come on purpose to do? To fulfill that contract he had with the Father. There was a contract. It was plain. He said, I'll go do it. He read it. I'll do every bit of it. And there he comes. And he fulfilled every dot and period in the contract. It wasn't just a chance that he took. I read it, but let me see what I can do with the feet folks down there. See if they want to or not. He fulfilled every part of that contract. He didn't sin. Every part of it. Every part. Every Isaiah's prophecy that I just read, he fulfilled it. Everything. Not a bit of that contract, that eternal contract, that hadn't been fulfilled. He came on purpose. He was commissioned by God, sent by God, anointed by the Spirit. And he who God sent and ordained and commanded is both willing and able to do what he was sent to do. That's what the Scripture says. He is able to save to the uttermost. Well, that's pretty dark, isn't it? Well, He's that light. He's able. He's the light for that uttermost darkness. He can get that job done. None of them's going to get... missed that one. Never. Wherever that darkest is, if he's an elect, the light will get to him. And then Lord. Lord. What's Lord mean? Lord means sovereign, don't it? Lord Jesus Christ. Sovereign. What's that mean? Why is there hope? Why is there light in that? Well, God becomes man. So he can't hate. If he becomes a man, he can't hate man, can he? He's suitable. He's suitable. Yes, as Jesus, he feels our infirmities. As Jesus, he's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He is, as Jesus, he's man of sorrows. Yet he's Lord. He's God. He's omni-everything. He has the power, because he's God, he has the power and the ability to carry out this whole work of salvation, every part of it. So as man, he fills our needs, but as God, he supplies our needs. See? Somebody says, what part of that do I have to see to be saved? Every bit of it. Every bit of it. The Lord Jesus Christ is who you've got to bow to. If you want light, the Lord Jesus, you got to say all of that. Not Jesus today and Lord down the road. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what you got to see. You got to see all of them. You got to take him all. You may not understand him all right now, but you got to take him all. You'll understand him as you go. Then there's light in his offices. Mediator. He's a mediator. We're just going to do two or three offices. We go on all day with the offices. He's a mediator. Your soul. You say, my soul desires peace. My soul desires acceptance with God. But you can't approach God, can you? Because you're in darkness. You're a dark sinner. You can't approach God. You can't come near. Why? He's a consuming fire. He'll eat you up. He'll destroy you. You can't come near God. But there is one. There is one that can. Here's one who can approach and speak on our behalf. Jesus Christ the Lord fills that great gulf. Fills it all. He's that bridge between us and God. He brings peace. Our first Adam ruined. Then he's priest. He's better than the priest. He was the sacrifice, wasn't he? He didn't offer that. He was the sacrifice. He was the lamb slain. He was the atonement. God must punish sin. We all know that. He's got to punish sin. Every sin must receive its just due. From stealing a cookie to stealing a car, every sin is going to receive its just due. Well, there's our Lord as priest, our scapegoat. He's carried the sin away. As our scapegoat. As the sin offering, he atoned. He removed all of our transgressions. There is no sin left. And then he's our intercessor. Everybody would agree to be saved, you're going to have to pray, aren't you? But we can't pray. We can't pray. You said you just now said a minute ago you can't approach God. But you got to pray. How are we going to do that? Our intercessor. Through our intercessor. I can't speak to God, but I've got that one who can. I know this, if he don't intervene on my behalf, I'll forever be in the dark. Well, he's the one. He's the one. The one. The one. Does it all. Carries your cause to a holy God. He prays for you. Carries your cause to a holy God, and then God said, there's peace. Through you, there's peace. Because of you, I hear his prayer. There's peace. Peace. No more darkness. We're brought nigh to God through Christ, aren't we? Near the light. So you see then the rays of light in His offices. Comfort for needy souls. He delights in mercy. He's a great Savior. He's all love and tenderness, pity and goodness. In Him alone is light. Him alone. Don't even attempt to find it anywhere else. In Him alone is light. Trust it. And then just concluding, wrapping this up. Concerning this light, the gospel is light, isn't it? Its source is divine. It's Christ. You can't, like you, we've said hundreds of times over the years, you can't separate the two. Somebody goes and hears a gospel message, but no Christ as their hope. They didn't hear the gospel. Didn't hear the gospel. So the gospel is light. Its source is divine. Scripture tells us this. Paul wrote, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the glory of God. How? In the face of Jesus Christ. He's the source of light. Divine source of light. Then His gospel's for every need. Every want. Every desire of man. Instruction and comfort. The gospel. Need of your mind or your soul. The gospel. In gospel is pardon and peace. What's the source? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this gospel, it says it's a great light. It's a great light. How many places has light just sprung up? Just sprung up. May not be visible now, but it's working. It's working. You ever seen, I remember years ago, we had a wreck right down here in a big pasture. And I know, I got there and got the car there, but nobody's with the car. I'm trying to get some information on the car. And I looked and I saw way down, that's where the stables are now. It used to be just a pasture. I saw a light just bouncing. Then I didn't see it and I went on back to my business and I was talking and light again. A little farther. Well, there's one of the guys. He finally came all the way around. He said, "There ain't nobody out there." He said, I went all the way around. That light worked all the way around. That's how the gospel's doing now. You see flashes of it, then you don't. Flashes of it, then you don't. But it's working. Don't ever think it's not working. We wouldn't be here if it's not working. It's working somewhere. And then this. Because it's working, the gospel light is efficacious. It's not a dead letter. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel kingdom is like a seed. You know, so many in this grace churches now, they got the truth, but they're sharing it with a sad approach. It's all over. It's all over. Well, maybe, Ronnie, it's because when I grew up down here, Paul, we had the sorriest baseball team for year after, didn't we? Year after year after year. But me and another old boy, we just wanted to play baseball. Greg Strickland, we just wanted to play baseball. So we'd start recruiting in school every year. You going to play baseball? We'll play baseball. Sign up for baseball. Boys would say, "I don't know how to play baseball." We say, "It don't matter, just sign up. You'll get to play, just sign up." Because we wanted to play. And we'd get beat. You know, we'd get beat. They'd have to call an inning because we were so far behind. And we'd come in and have our bat and we'd get any runs and go back out. But we'd come in the next, I thought we would. Lose that game, go to the next game. Thought we'd win the next game. Never did. Thought we'd win better, do better the next year. We never did, year after year. So maybe that's why I'm hopeful, because me and Greg just kept playing baseball. Well, I'm hoping that this thing ain't all over. If we read about great light, don't you think there's great light? I mean, how much greater light can Christ be? I think there's a day. The gospel kingdom is like a seed. This is the way I look at it. I think it's like a seed. Small in its beginning and gradual in its growth, but I think great in the end. I mean, these folks were sitting in these two regions, and all of a sudden, there was great light. Why can't it happen again? Why couldn't it happen again? Is it too hard for God? Are we just going to be sad from now on and share this gospel and share this truth and share these things? We've got the message. We got the truth. Are we going to be sad in delivering it and just sit back and wait for the worst in the world to happen? I mean, it's getting to the point where it's not any different than the bunch of Arminians that predict God coming back. Grace folks are doing it. He'll be here any day. Well, he didn't come yesterday. I doubt he'll come today. So I'm going to go home, and in the morning I'll get up and start working on 2 weeks from now, trying to bring something that would be encouraging, because one day I think this light's going to shine. And what have I got to lose if it don't? The Lord just comes back. Okay? So now we all ought to do that. I think we all ought to live with the anticipation that this gospel, if it shined in my heart, it can shine in thousands of hearts. And it'll prevail. That's what Isaiah wrote. He said, all the ends of the earth shall see this light. They shall see the salvation of our God. Our Lord told Job. He said, Job, this is what I'd like to tell some of these grace men. Fella, do you control the morning? That's what he told Job. He said, Job, do you control the morning? Do you break day? He said, or can you take the four corners of the earth and shake the wicked out? Job couldn't do that. Well, neither can these grace guys. God can, though. If he's pleased, he can shine light out of darkness and just shake this whole earth up. And he can do it tomorrow if he's pleased. So here's where you start, though. This is where you start. You start right. Has light arisen in your soul? You've got to start right there. Has light arisen with you? Do you manifest it in your life? You say you're happy with what God has done. Well, do you act happy to others? Do you manifest that you've got something to live for? Or are you gloomy all the time? And then you communicate it to others. When you get a chance, you just say, this is what I believe. Well, it can start, right? Remember that light working all the way around? Small things. Just, we can all do small things to encourage this light. Okay.
Oh, man.